Really good, thanks. I don't have anything to start with, so I can go straight to questions.
For people who are losing their homes or losing their jobs, and then they see the government helping engineer this $30 billion line of credit for Bear Stearns and help for other financial investment firms on Wall Street, how do you reconcile the two?
Well, the way I would answer that question is in two parts. One, this isn't about bailing anyone out. These actions are intended, as I said earlier today, to minimize financial market disruptions. And investors in Bear Stearns are taking large and significant losses in this transaction. And that's not what happens in a bailout. They had bought into a company. They took a financial risk. It had paid off quite well for them a while ago. But today, they're looking at a stock that's only worth $2. And the Fed, what they did last night is try to provide liquidity to the market so it would stabilize and we could have orderliness in the system. But I would also say that a major market disruption would have very damaging consequences and be very painful for everybody, from the small business owner to the homeowner, for everybody all the way up and down the economic food chain. And the goal here is to prevent a major disruption in financial markets. And the Fed is taking decisive action when necessary, and that is what they saw last night. In addition to that, homeowners and small business owners and everyone across America needs to know that we've acted on multiple fronts. Starting back in August, when the president recognized that we might be heading into some headwinds in the economy with several different aspects of it. And if you look back consistently over those past several months, he has said that we needed to take some action. And over time, we proposed legislation dealing with housing market. We also worked with the private sector to help homeowners through Hope Now and then Project Lifeline. We supported legislation that would not penalize people for writing down mortgage debt when they did a refinancing. And that finally became law. We haven't had Congress act on one of the most important things they could do, which is Federal Housing Administration changes and reforms that we've asked for. It's been about 7 months since the president first announced that, and Congress is now and again on a two-week recess, so nothing's going to happen. But at the same time, back in January, the president said, when we worked on the stimulus package, that the reason that we're doing that is because we could see in the future there could be a potential downturn in the economy. And so if things were to get worse, we would have a stimulus package in effect. We call that, remember, an insurance policy and a booster shot that we said would take effect and have impact later in the summer. And the president and Congress were right to work together on that bipartisan package, because those tax rebates will be going out to people all across the country, including the homeowners that you talk about.
But Dana, how does this square with sort of traditional conservative economic principles of limited government involvement in terms of sort of maybe culling the herd a little bit, letting the firms that are going to fail, and thus more can sort of live on the back end?
Well, I would point out again that, remember, Bear Stearns basically went from a company that was doing quite well to failure. And at $2 a share, I think that those investors are feeling today the consequences of that risk in a marketplace. But I would remind you that what's right for the markets and stability for the financial system had to be taken into consideration. And that's what the Fed decided to do, is that to act quickly, to act decisively, to make sure that we could provide what's needed right now, which is stability, liquidity, and orderliness. And the Treasury Department is able to answer lots more of detailed questions, and the Fed certainly on historical questions in this matter.
But people who are facing, say, foreclosures, individuals, the little guys who are facing their foreclosure, are looking at the big guys getting government, if not brokered, certainly overseeing deals that are engineered to sort of keep the big picture financial community afloat, and they're saying, well, where's my boost of liquidity?
They're going to get that boost of liquidity in the form of a stimulus package and a tax rebate that's coming to them the second week of May. The other way to help work on the housing issues is to take advantage of some of the programs that we have in place, to talk with Hope Now or Project Lifeline for those who are in more serious dire straits, and also to work with for us to continue from the administration to call on Congress to finally take action on Federal Housing Administration reforms, which we think are necessary to help homeowners across the board. But I would remind you and remind consumers all across America that the decisive action taken by the Fed yesterday was precisely to prevent long-term economic harm to everybody in the United States, including, as you said, the little guy.
Is there no American taxpayer money involved in this intervention?
Well, the details of the the action taken last night by the Fed, I would have to refer you to the Fed because it's the deal and the transaction are quite complicated. But the Fed will be focused on making sure that the federal taxpayer is protected.
And follow on that, the Fed did not consult the White House. Is that correct?
I think we were kept informed, but
Does the president think that Bear Stearns is an isolated case, or are there other large companies that may be in the same situation as Bear Stearns?
I don't know. I'd have to refer you to the Fed when you ask if the Fed would know.
Ask his economic advisors.
The president gets regularly updated, and in fact, in just an hour or two, he'll be meeting with the working group on financial markets, his working group on financial markets. But let me point out one thing also, Ann, which is that because the Fed did not just take the action last night in terms of helping to structure this deal, but it also took two other steps, which I'll let them explain in terms of the discount window. But those options that are now available to investment bankers were not available to Bear Stearns. And the whole purpose of taking that action is so that there would be options and availability for companies to right themselves if they're feeling like they're flagging. Elaine?
Dana, is the U.S. economy in a crisis?
As we said, Elaine, I don't know what kind of a question that is. Obviously, we're in a state where we have a weakened economy, and the president is extremely concerned. The Fed has taken action, decisive action, and they stand ready to do more if they need to. And we're going to continue to work with Congress as we worked with them quite closely to get the stimulus package done. Those checks will start coming to people's mailboxes the second week of May, and then hopefully have the impact that the outside forecasters and the administration continue to see, which is that in the late summer we'll get a little bit of a boost out of that and we'll help pull the economy out of a downturn. But obviously the long-term fundamentals of the economy, as the president said this morning, remain strong, and that will be reflected over time.
I ask because obviously it's quite a remarkable move what happened over the weekend, the talks, and Treasury Secretary Paulson obviously was quite involved in the process. I mean,
but that's exactly what you would expect from the president's senior leadership, and one of the most important things a president can do is to make sure that you have the right type of leadership in those positions at the right time. And I would say certainly that Secretary Paulson and Fed Chairman Bernanke fit that bill.
Over here, Roger.
The president in his radio address Saturday said that the housing crisis was the root of a lot of the troubles. Mr. Frank and Mr. Dodd have the legislation on the Hill that would call for a write down on some of the principal and then have FHA come in and guarantee the rest of those mortgages. The market is looking for a floor. Wouldn't that kind of legislation give the market a floor?
I wish I could. I'm not that detailed into it, Roger, that I could provide that.
Okay. That answer,
but I'll refer you to Treasury.
Yeah, the administration opposes that legislation. Is that correct?
I think we've said that we would not support that. I can't remember exactly what that legislation says, so let me go back and either get back to you or refer you to somebody who can.
The president said on Friday in results of about the initial Bear Stearns offer that the chairman of the Federal Reserve and Secretary of Treasury are on top of the situation. Turned out to require more. He said, today, you've shown the company and the world the United States is on top of the situation. This is essentially a crisis of confidence. I wonder if you can tell me whether the president believes.
A crisis of confidence in?
Well, it appears to be a crisis of confidence in liquidity.
Okay. I thought you were talking about in the president's advisors.
I'm going to ask you if you can tell me whether the president feels we've seen the worst of it, whether there are likely to be any more effective failures of major financial institutions.
Okay.
And why the president said on Friday they were on top of the situation, when in fact it took a weekend of negotiations for them to get to the case.
Wendell, I would refer you to how they structure the deal, but it's not so easy to just come up with a deal where you're taking a massive investment bank and trying to work with J.P. Morgan Chase in order to work all of that out. And in fact, I would dare say that between Friday and Sunday night, to get all of that done that quickly was quite remarkable. So I don't know where I disagree with you.
On Friday, when the president was trying to reassure the country about the state of the markets, he realized that the Bear Stearns bailout I shouldn't call it a bailout. The deal was not completed then. He suggested.
They were on top of it. They were working on it, and they, in fact, were. And then they finalized the deal. And I think it was prudent and responsible that they finalized it in time to be able to announce it before the Asian markets opened, which they did last night.
What about Wendell's question? Have we seen the worst? Does the president feel we've seen the worst?
I don't think we know. Obviously, in a market economy, economy cycle, and they go up and down. And the question is whether or not they're mild disruptions or sharp disruptions. And what the president can do is make sure that his leadership is in place to take decisive action when they need to, and they will stand ready to do more if they think they need to. But I would point you back to the fact that the action that the Fed took last night, being as unusual as it was, as Elaine said, now provides more options to investment banks across the board that weren't available to Bear Stearns before. So if the possibility arose that anybody else were facing dire straits such as that, then they could actually have, they have options in front of them now that weren't available before.
John?
Thanks. Dan, does the White House believe that the administration has been, was quick enough, you know, going back over the last few months, several months, to recognize the role that securitization played in this economic crisis?
Yes, I think so. And I think that overall, I think one of the most important things is recognizing in August the need for help in the housing market. So working with Congress to try to get a couple of things done. We got one big piece done in terms of the mortgage write-down, which was sponsored by Senator Stabenow, and the president greatly supported her idea. It became law. But then I think the other most important thing to do in terms of timing was the stimulus package. And the president said that would be a piece of insurance that we would need in case the markets took a turn for the worse. They did take a turn for the worse, and the good news is that we already have that in place, and so that should have the impact that we asked for.
You feel like that was in the crosshairs from the beginning, the role of taking the mortgages and selling them to a third party?
No, I don't follow your question.
Well, the president's talked often about how mortgages being packaged and sold to investment firms has been a problem because they've defaulted. I mean, is that?
Well, I think that Secretary Paulson has said, and I can refer you to his comments yesterday on all of the shows, which is that, the president has said that, and in the speech on Friday, that the way that mortgages are handled now is very different from several decades ago when you knew who your lender was. It was your guy down the street at your local bank. And now that's not the case anymore, and the industry has changed. And one of the things that we'll have to do is consider whether any new policies or oversight is needed in that industry. And I think that HUD announced on Friday changes to the RESPA rules, which should help, mostly help borrowers so that they have clear information as to what they are getting into when they sign up for a mortgage. Go ahead, Les.
Thank you, Dana. On a different area, in his speech to the Economic Club in New York City on Friday.
That sounds like the same topic. Just kidding.
The president said, quote, "I firmly believe people in New York City are going to be driving automobiles on battery relatively quickly, and it's not going to be like a golf cart. It will be a full-sized vehicle you'll be driving in," end of quote. And my question, since that was on Friday, you can now tell us whether relatively quickly means months or how many estimated years, can't you?
Well, the Energy Department's working closely with industry on that in terms of the incentives they have for battery technology. But it is exciting that we'll be able to drive our cars about 40 miles without having to stop for any type of traditional fuel. But it's going to take a few years.
A few years, how many, would you ask?
A few.
All right. A Hillsdale College veteran journalist, William Tucker, noted that 50% of our electricity comes from coal and 20% from nuclear reactors, which percentages should, he contended, be reversed, as in France. But the main opposition, he said, is public fear. My question, does the president support or oppose such an expansion of nuclear power?
Where have you been, Les? Yes, he does, extensively.
He supports this.
He definitely supports increases of nuclear power. I'm going to go to Elaine.
Delighted. Thank you very much.
We'll refer you to 7 years' worth of statements for more on that. Elaine?
Just back on the Fed action, would you at least concede that to some people there is the appearance of a disconnect here when they hear that Bear Stearns, which engaged in risky or took risky, some would say, imprudent financial steps, is being given the assistance of the government, while the person who's facing a foreclosure at home that also may have taken risky financial steps, some would say unwise financial steps, is not being necessarily given the same kind of immediate assistance in this
fashion. I would go back to what I said at the beginning, which is this isn't about bailing out anyone. This was about making sure to prevent against market disruptions. And the investors in Bear Stearns are taking large, significant losses in this transaction, and that's not what happens in a bailout. At the same time, the president has moved forward on parallel tracks in order to help the individual homeowners. We have a housing crisis in the country that we are trying to work through, and it's just going to take a little bit of time so that we can match the policies that we've now put in place or that we would like Congress to put in place in terms of reforms of the Federal Housing Administration. And until then, there's other measures that that they could take. For example, Secretary Paulson and Secretary Jackson worked together with a large number of private sector companies to pull together both lenders and mortgage backers to get together and try to help people. And so it's 1-888-HOPE-NOW. I hope I don't say that wrong, like President did before, but it's the, you know, it's a 1-800 number. There's also, you can get to them online. And then as in addition to that, that was for people who were thinking that they might have a problem. In addition to that, they created Project Lifeline, which is to help people who are in serious arrears and are at risk of losing their house. So there is action that they, that the homeowner can take as well, that can try to help them.
Dana, if I could try again, one reason this continues is that people don't know the exposure of these large investment houses to the subprime market. For example, I gather one reason that Bear Stearns' stock was worth $57 a share Thursday, $30 a share on Friday. I mean, as the exposure of these firms becomes clear, the amount of loss they are subject to becomes clear, and the value of the firm goes down. Does the president support some kind of action that would more quickly make it clear to the country how much these large investment houses are exposed to the subprime market losses?
I haven't talked to him about it, but let me take your question and I'll get back to you.
Anne? Is he going to talk about this tomorrow? What's his economic speech tomorrow?
The economic speech is based on, is focused on the Colombia Free Trade Agreement. So, but I'm not going to rule out him talking about the broader economy overall. Goyal?
Anne, I have two quick questions. One, as far as crackdowns in Tibet by the Chinese, now U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom and other human rights organizations are calling, condemning. You think President is in touch with anybody, or he's concerned about it?
The administration has certainly been in touch with the Chinese, and we've called on them, as Secretary Rice did on Saturday, to exercise restraint in dealing with the protests, and we've urged an immediate end to the violence so that people can get back to living a better life. But we're just very concerned of the overall long-term prospects of it. So we've been in touch with them, and I'll refer you to Secretary of State's office for more.
Second, on Wednesday, when President talks about global war on terrorism in speech, you think he's going to talk about ongoing violence in Afghanistan and in Pakistan? Because before the democratic government is formed now, more and more every day there are some suicide bombings.
In which speech? I'm sorry, you're asking
global war on terrorism.
Will he talk about global war on terrorism?
Yeah.
That is for sure. You can bet on that. Go ahead, John.
Dana, the cost of the contract for the new Marine Ones, the fleet of helicopters, has doubled since it was let in 2005. And I know this is a Pentagon issue and it's a Defense Department issue, but this is sort of a symbol of the presidency. Those white tops. Is there concern here about that contract rising so much at a time when the president's talking about constraining government?
Well, certainly, no one's happy about it. The budget increasing on that, on the need for it. As you know, the presidency uses these helicopters quite a bit, and the next president, whoever it is going to need the access and the capabilities that a Marine One can provide. So these current helicopters are ones that are going to need to be replaced quite soon after the next president takes over from the president. And so we had been encouraging early on that this contract be bid, and the White House did not add any additional requirements after the contract had already been signed, and we do remain concerned about it. But as I understand it, to rebid the contract would probably cost the taxpayers even more money and cost us waste a lot of time as well.
Thank you.